At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in to Pro Football Full Circle right here on Sports Grid. Drew Martin, Mark Zeno, recapping the games from Saturday and Sunday slate in the weekend that was the NFL. We'll finish it off with Sunday Night Football, take a look ahead towards Monday Night Football, and the opening lines for this upcoming week in the NFL. Follow Mark on Twitter, at Mark Zeno. I'm on Twitter, at Drew Martin Betts. We got at Sports Grid, at Sports Grid TV. Matt and Frank in the producer's role. Mark, we had three Saturday games and a bunch of Sunday games here, man. How was the weekend overall for you in the NFL?
Nah, not good. 1-2 day. Not impressive.
I was short and sweet, man. Just 1-0 on the Sunday slate. I actually passed on the Saturday slate. And one thing I'm taking away here just by, looking at the overall scores and lines, it was overs and favorites. If you like betting favorites, you like betting overs. You cashed in on Saturday with 3 for 3 on the overs, and depending what line you're going off of, either a push, a 2-0-1 with the favorites, or a 3-0 on the favorites. And first game up, it was 1 o'clock Eastern. Again, we had the trifecta of games going all day long, 1, 4:30, and 8:15, like how the NFL did this on Saturday, December 16th. It was the Bengals on top of the Vikings, 27-24. The total closed 41.5, so it gets up and over. And it was the Bengals, -3-point favorites. So if you got it at the 3 number, which is what it closed at, it opened pick 'em. They took money throughout, and it landed right on the closing number. Cincinnati winning it 27-24. What'd you take away from the Queen City on Saturday, Mark?
I mean, Vikings had a 17-3 lead and blew it. Tough one. I think the sort of clock is going to strike midnight on Jake Browning here, probably next week. Bengals got to go out on the road for a tough road game, and I'll be looking to fade them. They were pretty inept offensively for 3 quarters and then kind of just got lucky, in the fourth quarter there. But, you know, the Vikings, just a gut punch loss for them as far as their chances to make the playoffs. It was a game they couldn't afford to lose and a game that they were in position to win.
Yeah, it's going to be tough on the Vikings going forward. Is that they dropped to just 500 on the year, 7-7. And the Bengals, surprising to some here, you know, Joe Burrow being banged up, they're 8-6 on the season, winning that one 27-24. Browning, 324 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Addison led the way receiving for the Vikings with 111 yards on 6 receptions. In the losing effort, Bengals scoring 21 points in the fourth quarter to come from behind, kick the field goal in overtime and win it 27-24. We had the middle game, Pittsburgh and Indianapolis up next, and this one was all Colts, 30-13. They win, they cover the 1 as the favorite, 41.5 just gets up and over. Steelers at Colts. What'd you take away from Indianapolis on Saturday, Mark?
Dare I say that the Steelers might like have a coaching problem with Mike Tomlin? Is that okay to say?
I mean, he's been one of the better coaches over the years, maybe not this year.
This Steelers team has been fraudulent all year long. They're a joke. Like, they're not good. They're not even 7-7 good. They're like New York Giants 5-8 kind of good, or 5-9 kind of good. Like, they're not good. There's nothing about them that's good. They get outgained, and I think they've been outgained in 12 of 14 games this year. It's a joke. Like, it's rather embarrassing, and that offense is kind of putrid. That's all I know.
So it's 7-7, bottom of the division. Are you crossing them out? I mean, because they're still alive, as are a lot of teams in the AFC. They're all bunched up together, but you don't see it happening for the Steelers, huh?
No. I think the Steelers are not – I don't think the Steelers are going to the playoffs at all.
What about the Colts and their future? I mean, big win for them, 8-6. That division is tight. I can see the Colts making it.
I mean, you know, I'm shocked. Like, I haven't been able to figure the Colts out at all this year. But give them credit, and give Shane Steichen credit, and they've kind of done it with duct tape and crazy glue and Gardner Minshew. I mean, that's, you know, and when Gardner Minshew plays okay and doesn't hurt his team, the Colts are in a lot of games. There are some games that he stinks it up and looks really bad, and you know, I don't know. They're just a tough team for me to figure out. I think I bet five Colts games this year and got all five of them wrong. Whether I was betting on the Colts or against them, I got them all wrong.
That's something, you know, if you're losing with a team, or at least when I'm losing with a team, Mark, like that, betting on them, they lose, fading them, they win, I just stay away, man. Are you the same way?
Yep.
So no more betting the Colts?
They're on my do not bet list.
You learn from mistakes in this business. It's a good way not to lose money out there, guys. But we did have the nightcap on Saturday night. It was the Broncos and the Lions. A lot of fanfare going into this one, Mark, and it was the Lions going off as 5.5-point favorites, winning and covering easily, 42-17. That was the Lions on top. 49 was the total. Gets well up and over. So the Broncos leave Mile High, head to the Motor City, and go down. What'd you take away from the Lions' big win, 42-17 over the Broncos?
Broncos hung, you know, for the first 15 minutes, it looked like it was going to be a tight game. And then the floodgates opened, and it was 21-0 at half, and the Broncos never stood a shot. They're not capable of coming back. The Broncos can play in games that they're in, but once they start getting smoked like that, they can't come back. So they just don't have the offense that's built for it. But again, Lions much different at home than they are on the road. And that's what you have to take away from this more than anything.
Absolutely. To that point, 5-2 at home. They're also 5-2 away. So this year, not that big discrepancy between home and road. But to your point, I think there's something to Jared Goff in playing in elements. He's not the same quarterback. You know, a California kid, played at Cal, high school football in California, mostly good weather, played for the Rams, controlled climate, you know, playing for the Lions here, controlled climate. And when he gets that good weather, we're playing in a dome, I'm looking to bet on Jared Goff. I really am, Mark. And when it's outside, particularly when it's bad weather, he's just not the same quarterback. And I think there's something to that. You know, some quarterbacks handle it better than others, and Jared Goff just isn't very good in the elements.
Yeah, his home road splits have been like that his entire time in Detroit. So for whatever reason, he's just a different quarterback out on the road. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, I don't know, guys. It's something to it. Sometimes you don't have to figure out why. Just know what it is and use it in your betting habits. And with the Lions and Jared Goff, I think that is. He's one of the better quarterbacks, really, in the NFL when he's got it going good, when he's got the element in his favor. When it's not, I'm not looking to bet on him. Lions are 10-4 on the season, so looking strong to make the playoffs. Guys, we will recap the Sunday slate on the other side. Mark Zeno, Drew Martin, Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in Pro Football Full Circle right here on Sports Grid, Sirius Channel 159, radio affiliates across the country. Thanks for joining us. Drew Martin, Mark Zeno, breaking it down. We are on to the Sunday slate, Sunday, December 17th. If you missed anything from the NFL slate, we got you covered here. Starting, we'll go down in rotation order, 1 o'clock Eastern. kickoff here in Carolina. It was the Atlanta Falcons and the Carolina Panthers. Womp, womp, womp. 9-7 Panthers on top of the Falcons. -2.5 That was the Dirty Birds going off as the road favorite. 32.5 was the total. Not low enough here, Marcus. There was not much offense in a team you cover closely in the Falcons. Going down to the Panthers, divisional matchup. What'd you take away from Charlotte?
Desmond Ridder with another red zone turnover that that absolutely killed his team. That's it. I mean, it's that simple. Look, it was a slop fest. It was pouring rain all day long. You know, it was not great conditions for either team. Falcons have a 7-3 lead. And all they need to do, or 7-6 lead, I think it was. And all they need to do is make it a 4-point game and then put their defense on the field and not let Carolina go the length of the field and score a touchdown. Desmond Ridder throws an awful, awful, awful pick and costs his team the game. I don't know how to say it any other way. Arthur Smith needs to sit him down. At this point, the experiment is over. He can't play because he can't hold on to the football and he can't make bad decisions. Or I should say can't make good decisions because he keeps making bad decisions. And he's cost his team at least 3 or 4 games alone this year, Desmond Ridder. So Arthur Smith needs to sit him down at this point. The experiment's over. Like, you can't put him back out there. You just can't.
And to your point, Desmond Ridder, just 12 of 20 guys, one touchdown, one interception. His QBR rating was just 16. Bryce Young on the other side, I mean, not much better. QBR-wise, both of these two quarterbacks not playing very well, just 59. Bryce Young did complete 18 of 24 passes for 164 yards. In the lackluster offensive win, 9-7 Panthers in the elements at home as the home dog. We got Chicago and Cleveland up next here, Mark. This is a game I was involved in. I bet the under, and oh, we got it just by the slimmest of margins. It started off slow. What was it, 7-7 heading into halftime? They ended up scoring some points in the second half, yet not getting over the 38.5 as the closing total. However, the Browns, they win 20-17, 3-point home favorites, likely a push depending where you bought it. Bears, Browns, what'd you take away from Cleveland here, Mark?
Joe Flacco, back-to-back wins, back-to-back 300-yard passing games. Still has a still had 3 interceptions today, which is, you know, rather comical. But, yeah, so Browns are alive, man. I mean, they're going to the playoffs, and Joe Flacco's going back to the playoffs where we know Joe Flacco is elite. So it's impressive to watch. It's actually kind of fun. It's funny. It's funny, and it's fun at the same time. Who would have ever thought, like, Joe Flacco would be back into playing important games in December?
I did not. I mean, to tell you the truth, when I first heard his name as the, like, the quarterback on the Browns, I didn't realize he was, like, still playing professional football, Mark. And, yeah. And I don't know. I'm thinking a lot of people. Yeah, they just, you know, found him. I'm not even really sure what he was doing at the beginning of the season, but he finishes this one 28 of 44. Two touchdowns. He did throw 3 interceptions. However, they were able to hold on for the win, mainly due to the defense. He was sacked 4 times. Justin Fields, something to note here, under 50% passing, 19 of 40, 166 yards, 2 interceptions. His QBR just 16. So a lackluster result there for Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears as they go down 20-17 to the Cleveland Browns. We'll move down here with the Battle of Bays, Tampa Bay and Green Bay, Mark. This was a 1 o'clock Eastern kick, 34-20. That was the Bucs on top of the Pats. 41 being the total, gets up and over, -3.5. That was the Packers as the home favorite as they go down outright with the road dog winning this one. Tampa Bay, 34-20. What'd you take away from Lambeau?
You guys remember that Packers 3-game winning streak that they had against the Lions and Chiefs and Chargers? Yeah, I don't.
Long gone.
Me either. Last 2 games, the defense that was so good has been absolute dog poo. I bet on the Packers today. I laid the 3. I did it earlier in the week because I don't went up to 3.5 by the time it closed. And they made Baker Mayfield look like Joe Montana. That defense, they could not stop that team on 3rd down. Couldn't get off the field. They were throwing the ball over the field on that Packers defense. That was embarrassing for the Packers at home. That was really embarrassing. And somehow Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers are 7-7. Just whatever. That team's still not good, and they won't be good, in my opinion.
Do they win the NFC South? Keep in mind, if you say no, you got to choose the Saints or the Falcons.
I mean, one of the two of them is going to win it. One of the Buccaneers or Saints is going to win it. So, no, the Falcons can't win the division now. They're done. They're done. Even though they're only a game behind, they're done. Trust me, they're done. There's nothing left.
So it's the Saints or the Bucs for the right to go, what, one and done in the playoffs? You don't give any shot for this division to get a playoff win, do you?
No, absolutely not.
All right, guys, another one in the books. Tampa Bay going on the road, winning 34-20 over the Green Bay Packers. Next one here, this was a very intriguing matchup with the Houston Texans at Tennessee in the Titans. The Titans coming off of that big Monday night football win against the Dolphins, surprising in comeback fashion. However, they go down to the Texans, 19-16. They went off as a three-point home favorite and lose it outright. 38 was the total. Landed right around the number, depending on where you're buying it. Texans win it, and they do so as the road dog here. What'd you take away from Nashville today, Mark?
Huge win for the Texans to keep their playoff hopes alive without their starting quarterback. It just goes to show you how bad the Titans are. But that's neither here nor there. Will Levis almost got killed in this game, I think, at one point. He had a really bad injury that apparently he said he was fine because he walked off on his own power, but looked like a bad leg injury. But the Texans, you know, I kept saying all week long to people, I go, why are the Texans really a three-point underdog here to the Titans? Like, the Titans are favored. Like, we're going to lay points with Tennessee. I mean, that's just a weird, especially after coming off that Monday night win. Like, I know the Titans were leading for most of the game, right? And it was a late touchdown that got the Texans, you know, into the end zone to tie the thing up. But I was just, you know, I was like, woo, man, nothing felt right about laying points with the Titans. I stayed off the game altogether, but, you know, I'm kind of excited for this Texans team to see if they can steal the AFC South.
Yeah, Mark, I mean, what kept me off of the Titans was like the short week off of the big win, having to travel there, come back home, a little bit shorter preparation time. And I'm glad I stayed off the Titans, obviously, with Houston winning this one. And you brought it up. You talked about it briefly, you know, without the starting quarterback. But Case Keenum is the backup. And to tell you the truth, Mark, even going back to his Houston days, I mean, we're talking more than a decade ago. I'm talking in college with Houston. That guy was great against the spread. He had some great offenses. And to tell you the truth, he's shown flashes in the NFL. When you're talking about like backup quarterback wise, I'm not naming too many names before Case Keenum. He puts the ball, he found the win. What are your overall thoughts on the Texans moving forward? No way to bet them unless they get the starter back.
No, I mean, listen, Case took a Vikings team to like 13-3 a couple of years ago, the year the Super Bowl. So it's not a bad starter by any stretch of the imagination. He's not great, but he's not bad. He can spot start for the Texans for a couple of games. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think the Texans are necessarily a bet against or a fade in this spot.
Sure. I mean, C.J. Stroud gets back. I mean, obviously, he's done a great job, likely rookie of the year in the NFL. But Case Keenum, hey, there could be worse backup quarterbacks. And he comes in, gets the win. 229 yards with touchdowns. So, yeah, Texans on top of the Titans. He's Mark Zeno. I'm Drew Martin. Guys, we got a short break. More recaps on the other side. Don't go anywhere. Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in. Pro football full circle. This is Sports Grid. I am Drew Martin, joined by Mark Zeno. Sirius Channel 159 listeners, radio affiliates across the country, thanks for joining us as we're recapping some of the Sunday slate here, guys. Then we will take a look ahead towards some of the opening lines in the NFL for the upcoming week in Monday Night Football as well. Next game up here. 2:00 Eastern kicks left. New York Giants, New Orleans Saints. It was Saints minus 6-point home favorites. 39.5 was the total. Game stays under. Saints win and they cover. Team you follow closely here, Mark. the G-men going on the road and losing effort. What'd you take away from the Big Easy?
Well, you know, the Giants coming off that big Monday night win were probably set up for a little bit of a letdown. Then again, I would never lay 6 points with the Saints. I don't care who they're playing, period. Because that offense is putrid. It's terrible. The Giants gave them, you know, some decent field position, and they couldn't move the ball. And look, the Tommy DeVito, Tommy Cutlet thing is going to wear off pretty soon here when the Giants lose like their next three games. So, you know, it was fun while it lasted, and the young man is fun. I hope he's enjoying himself, but the Giants are not a competitive football team. Let's not kid ourselves here. I mean, really, let's not. Stop.
And I'm a Giants fan. He's got a cool agent, right? Yeah, you a fan of the agent?
He's in the Italian Sports Hall of Fame, so I'm already jealous.
So if you're an NFL player, would you look for him to be your agent?
I'm not in. That's what it is.
Yeah, he's out there, you know, doing thing, and DeVito's living it up while it still lasts here. Unfortunately, the Giants, for his sake, going down 24-6 to the Saints, who, oh, by the way, here, Mark Zeno, New Orleans Saints 7-7, Tampa Bay 7-7, Atlanta Falcons 6-8. Somebody's got to win the division with a playoff berth. Might as well be the Saints. We get New York Jets, Miami Dolphins up next here, guys. Last 1 o'clock kick, we'll talk. 35.5 was the total, -7. That's the Dolphins at home. They win, they cover easily, 30-0. Tough loss here for the Jets, as I believe that ends their playoff hopes, as if they would have run the table, likely making it in. It ends in Hard Rock. What'd you take away from Miami Gardens?
My takeaway is I don't have to watch the Jets play football. Like, if Aaron Rodgers isn't the quarterback, I don't have to watch the Jets play football. I mean, there's nothing to take away from watching. I'll say this much. Maybe for Miami, there's a takeaway that, okay, they learned to survive a game in an offense that, you know, actually looks somewhat competent without Tyreek Hill in there. And maybe that's a whole week of game planning of not having Tyreek Hill, right? Maybe that's what they needed. But when they lost Tyreek mid-game last time, they looked pretty common as an offense is concerned.
And, you know, looking at the New York passing attack here, Zach Wilson goes 4 of 11, Trevor Siemian 14 of 26. They got sacked 6 times for a loss of 56 yards. Tua on the other side, 21 of 24. Man, I thought this Jets defense was pretty good. Not so much today. He did throw a touchdown, had over. What's that?
Pass defense is supposed to be.
Yeah. I don't know. Didn't look that way. Anyway, 224 yards, nothing special, but did throw a touchdown, 30-0. Dolphins on top of the Jets. 10 wins on the season for the Finns. 4 o'clock kicks up next. San Francisco 49ers, Arizona Cardinals here, Mark. We're heading to the desert. 45-29. That was the Niners on top of the Cards. They win. They cover the 12.5, 48 being the total. The Niners almost make it there themselves. Brock Purdy starting to get some MVP, real serious consideration here. And I'll tell you, breaking down this game, it was the Cardinals as, you know, a lot of people liking them as dogs here. A lot of trends setting up their way. It just didn't work out that way. The 49ers, the better team, the more talented team. What'd you take away from the desert?
The 49ers are unstoppable. That's it. You know, the only way I would have played this game, and I had mentioned it on a couple different shows, was lay the 7 with the 49ers in the first half. They ended up covering the whole number because there's a certain amount of this. I think the 49ers can sleepwalk through a lot of games here going forward. And so because they can, you know, it's going to be very hard to figure out if they if they're going to have one of those second halves where it's just like, you know, they're going to yawn through it. And as long as they got a 2-touchdown lead, they're not really going to do much, right? Or a 2-score lead, they're not really going to try to do much. But it's hard to bet the 49ers when they're that big of a favorite at this point.
Yeah, it's all about the number. I mean, looking at their next three games, it's the Ravens, the Commanders, and the Rams. The Ravens and the Rams at home. They do have to go on the road New Year's Eve to the Washington Commanders, where they're going to have to go cross-country, likely laying double digits there, Mark. I mean, do you see yourself playing them one way or the other? Just bringing up the fact of what you're talking about. You know, it's about betting the numbers. This team, you know, the Super Bowl favorite, let's face it. But it comes to you know, when you're betting on teams, are they going to cover the number? And that's the question mark here. They got a good Ravens team, a Rams team that, you know, has shown some flashes here of life, and then a Commanders team, which, hey, it's all about next season. How do you think they finish it off in these three games?
I mean, the Niners should run the table. There's no reason to think that they won't. Right? The matchup against the Ravens on Christmas is going to be interesting. You know, they're home for it, so they will have that. They'll have a huge crowd there. And the final game of the regular season against the Rams may not even matter, just because they may have the number one seed locked up by then, depending on how the next 2 weeks shake out. So, you know, the Niners are only 4.5-point favorites next week, which feels like a shorter number than expected.
I'm with you. It's already bumping up to 5.5.
Five and a half, which is very, very telling. Very telling.
I wouldn't be surprised if that touches 7 by kickoff. I could see this Niners team taking some money. And that's a great point. In the last game, it might not even be the 49ers we're used to, as they start resting players, locking up the one seed if they run the table here in the next two, which they likely will, as already 5.5-point favorites against the Ravens, likely double-digit favorites on the road against the Commanders. They sweep the table there. They're sitting at 11-3 now. That would put them 13-3, depending what the Eagles and Cowboys do. Also the Lions with 10 wins. I don't know, guys. They might have it all locked up by that last week. We got 49ers in the books here, and looking down the list with the Washington Commanders. We just talked about them, and actually the Rams facing each other this Sunday, 4:05 Eastern, 1:05 Pacific kick, 28-20. That was the Rams on top of the Commanders, -6.5. Rams went off as the favorite, so they win and cover. 49 being the total, lands just under. 48 was available out there, so it depends what number you got totals-wise. But Rams win at home. They cover as well here, Mark. What'd you take away from Los Angeles?
Well, if you got 48.5 and you had the over, that is a tough way to lose the over on a blocked extra point, Drew. That's how the Washington Commanders ended up on 20. They scored a touchdown, and they had the extra point blocked. So if you got 48.5, and this thing opened up at 45.5, so again, you get a number earlier in the week, you were in great shape. You were in real good shape. So, you know, this was a spot here where, you know, that number ended up being right where it was supposed to be. But as far as the Rams are concerned, I mean, you know, I don't think this team is legitimate. I don't think this team is that good. The fact that they are 7-7 is impressive given what they have done this year. But they're starting to get better at the right time in the season. Then again, you know, we've seen them beat up on bad teams and lose to good teams. So that's why they're 7-7, because the better teams that they play end up beating them. Worst teams that they play, they end up beating, like Commanders. And, oh, by the way, the Commanders are 3 games away from cleaning house and firing everybody.
Yeah, just 4-10 on the season in this game, guys. Stafford threw for 258 yards, 2 touchdowns. Williams on the ground for the Rams, 152 yards on 27 carries. So really kind of controlling the clock there for the Rams. And, oh, man, 28-20, you bring up the blocked extra point, and that affected the total. It's almost like the ball, you know, hitting the upright and losing a bet that way, which happened in Sunday Night Football. We'll get to that one here closely. But it comes down to the kickers, right, Mark? You can always blame it on the kicker.
Worst humans on the planet. Absolute worst humans on the planet. In my opinion, there are terrorists who should be spared before kickers.
Mark brought up a great point earlier in Game Live. Nobody grows up to be a kicker. It's always like you failed in another sport. Maybe you were like a rugby player. We've seen these guys from Australia come over, or a soccer player, and you realize you're not going to make FIFA. And then sure enough, the high school football team calls you over. You make a couple field goals, and that's how you get there. Mark, I thought that was funny, man. Nobody grows up to be a kicker.
A kicker is just a failed something else. Failed soccer player, failed soccer player. That's it. That's all they are. So if you grew up wanting to play soccer and play for the U.S. men's team and everything else, and you didn't get to any of those UEFA, CONCACAF, Champions, Premier Leagues, Bundesliga, whatever it's called, you just become a kicker. Somebody will pay you to miss kicks.
That's how it works sometimes, guys. We got three more recaps on the Sunday slate. We'll take a look ahead towards Monday Night Football. Cowboys, Bills, Ravens, Jags, Chiefs, and Patriots all up. Don't go there.
Sports Grid. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in Pro Football Full Circle right here on Sports Grid. I am Drew Martin, joined by Mark Senno. Mark is on Twitter at Mark Senno. I'm on Twitter at Drew Martin Betts. We got at Sports Grid, at Sports Grid TV, Sirius Channel 159, radio affiliates across the country. Thanks for tuning in. As we got one afternoon kick, 4:25 Eastern. Then we actually got a 1 o'clock Eastern kick as it got flexed out, the Chiefs and the Patriots from Sunday Night Football. And in the Baltimore Ravens and Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll recap those three games, then take a look ahead towards this upcoming week, Monday Night Football, and the opening lines in the NFL. We got the 4:25 Eastern, 1:25 Pacific kick here, Mark. Dallas Cowboys, Buffalo Bills, by some maybe the marquee matchup of the day, and it was all Bills, 31-10 as the winning this one at home here, Mark. Minus two and a half point favorites. They win, cover easily. 49.5 the total. It stays under. What'd you take away from Buffalo today?
Bills are playing the best football at the right time of year. And if they win out and the Dolphins lose to either the Ravens or the Cowboys in the next 2 weeks, I think Buffalo's going to win this division. And Buffalo's going to win the AFC and host a home playoff game. So, I mean, this is a pretty good dismantling of a really good team. This wasn't about what the Cowboys did wrong. This wasn't about the Cowboys being bad. This is all about the Bills being really good. And the Bills are really good. And they hit a rough patch of their season, and they struggled. And that happens from time to time with teams. But, you know, this is the most dangerous team outside of the 49ers in the NFL right now. And if there was ever a year that we might ever see the Chris Berman special – do you remember what the Chris Berman special is, Drew Martin? Are you old enough, or you are old enough to remember who Chris Berman is and what he would do?
Yeah, but I always remember him back, gone. That's my Chris Berman.
That's not it. Chris Berman, you know, he used to be the Swami. Remember on ESPN, oh, yeah. He used to be the Swami. He would make all his picks. And for years, and I mean for years, every year he would pick his Super Bowl preview at the beginning of the football season. And he would always pick the 49ers against the Buffalo Bills. Because in the late 80s and early 90s, when the Niners were really good and the Bills were really good, he would pick the 49ers and the Bills, and it never happened. We might get the Chris Berman special this year.
The little Swami special. All right, Chris Berman. So that's what you remember, the 49ers. And you don't remember back, gone.
No, well, that was his baseball thing, and that was annoying. That was his home run derby thing. That was just annoying.
Yeah.
But he always, every year, those were his Super Bowl picks. And it got to be a thing, like, you know, like for 2 or 3 years when he did it, like they were both legitimately good enough to be there. And then no matter what, every year, he just started picking the Bills and the Niners to get in the Super Bowl every single year. And he did it for like 12 years straight.
Just thinking eventually he'll be right, but unfortunately.
It sort of became more of a goof than anything else. Because I'm Googling this now. Niners, Bills. Let me see.
I can see it, though.
Hold on. For 7 consecutive years, the Swami predicted the Super Bowl between the 49ers and Buffalo Bills, one or the other, but never both making it during that span.
All right. Hey, well, I mean, the Niners are the favorite to do it. I guess the Bills would be the one that, you know, they got some work to do, but a big win here. They're 8-6, and we've talked about it before, how jam-packed this AFC playoff picture is. I mean, they're 2 games back from the Dolphins. They still play the Dolphins, so they'll gain one there. And if they win that game, they would have swept the Dolphins. So get the tiebreaker. They'll need a little bit of help.
They need the Dolphins to lose one or two games. They need the Dolphins to lose one of the next two. That's it. If they lose one of the next two, the final game of the and the Bills win out, the Bills will win the division.
And oh, by the way, the Dolphins schedule, one of the toughest in the NFL down the stretch. Cowboys, Ravens, Cowboys, and then Ravens. Bills.
Yeah. So, like I said, if they lose a game to
you may or may
the next 2 weeks, that final regular season matchup will decide who wins the AFC East.
You might be onto something here. Maybe a little Bills future, right?
I already took a Bills future to win the AFC.
What'd you get it at?
Plus 850.
Nice.
Good. I wanted to take them to win the division, but I was only getting like plus 275. And I felt like I think the Bills are going to make the playoffs anyway. And even if they don't win the division, which again, they need the Dolphins to trip up. And who's to say that the Bills are actually going to win that last regular season game? They could not. I mean, you know, the game's in Miami, so it's a road game that they'd have to win. But I say all that to say that I didn't want to kill the bet, you know, altogether if the Bills didn't win the AFC. I didn't think there was enough value on it. If I was getting like 4-1, I might have done it. But at plus 275, I just didn't see the value in it. So I took the 850 for them to win the AFC, feeling like if they get into the postseason, they're still going to be a really dangerous team.
Yeah, I mean, getting that extra, $600 on a $100 bet for the AFC rather than just the division, I think that's the right choice, because if they win the division, first off, they might have a chance for the number one seed at that point. I mean, they would also need some other help. So then it would just be... I don't know. You get the extra little juice there on your bet with the Bills and the future. Good breakdown there, Mark. We got next one up, rotation order here. So we will hit the Sunday nighter. It's Baltimore and Jacksonville. We saw this one land -4 as the closing number for the Ravens on the road. 42.5 was the total. Baltimore wins it 23-7. And I'll tell you, Mark, I mean, we watched this on in-game live. A lot of people like in Jacksonville. I know you took the Jags. I lean that way as well. It's just this Ravens team, they just look like the stronger team. In Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence played terrible. I mean, he had a fumble where it was his own fault. He just dropped the ball. Another costly mistake there at the end of the first half. We watched it live. The clock ran out on them on the 5-yard line. They get no points. Terrible, terrible night for the Jags overall. Anything else you took away from North Florida and the Ravens winning and covering?
No, I mean, it was a comedy of errors in the first half by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Not one, but two missed field goals, a fumble by Trevor Lawrence inside the red zone, and then the comedy that ended the first half where they refused to spike it. Again, I don't have a problem with them running the play without spiking it. I have a problem with Trevor Lawrence not being smart enough to either throw that ball in the end zone so it's a touchdown, or you throw it out of the back of the end zone. You don't throw it into the flat when the guy's not in the end zone. Stupid. Like, Trevor Lawrence is good, but he is not, like, in anywhere near the same level of Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. It's not even close. And I'm so tired of people putting him in that category. That's not a bad – that doesn't mean he's a bad quarterback. He's just not in the elite level of quarterbacks in the NFL, period. Like, he's not. You can keep trying to make him something. You can keep trying to put him there if you want. Knock yourself out. It's just not there.
Yeah, tough to argue, especially off of tonight's matchup, man. This is the worst I've seen him in quite some time, because last year he put together that run. They made the playoffs. Look, the Jaguars were a very trendy pick this offseason, Mark. They really were, and I almost felt like, man, you're a year behind. You know, last year was the year to be on the Jags when they were like plus 700 to win the division, which came through. This year, they were the division favorite. You were playing, it was like minus 300. I'm like, man, that's too big of a change. There's too many people on the Jags, and sure enough, they've fallen short this year, at least year to date.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, they are not that good yet. Can they get there? Maybe. But you're going to have to prove to a whole lot of people, including me, that you can hang with the Bills and you can hang with the Chiefs. Oh, by the way, yeah, I know that the Jaguars beat the Bills this year, guys, in London, when the Jaguars were already there for a week ahead of time. And situationally, it was an awful spot for the Bills, right? And they only beat them by three, by the way. It wasn't even like but they lost to the Chiefs. The Jaguars lose when they step up in class. And that's the first mark of a team that's not there yet. Like, just go look at their schedule this year and what they've done. Every time that they've had to step up in class, they've gotten smoked. They lost to the Chiefs. They lost to the Texans. They got smoked by the 49ers. They lost to the Bengals. They lost to the Browns. And now they lose to the Ravens. Sure, you can beat the Titans, and you can beat the Saints, and you can beat the Steelers, and you can beat the Colts. Yeah, knock yourself out. But there's a big difference between those teams and the other teams that I mentioned. The other teams that I mentioned all have some level of something that relates to the idea of them being in a Super Bowl or a deep playoff run. Nobody thinks that of the Colts. Nobody thinks that of the Steelers. Nobody thinks that of the Titans. You know, it's just, you know, nobody thinks that of the Falcons, another team that they beat. It's just not, you know, yeah. They're not ready for the big time yet.
Getting some breaking news here. It looks like the Mitchell for the Ravens out, and they're going to sign Melvin Gordon. So, hey, talking about this game in Baltimore and Jacksonville, a little change there for the Ravens. Frank bringing the heat there in the producer's role. As we got one game left here, and, you know, this game got flexed out of Sunday night, so it kind of speaks to, I guess, the matchup coming up to it, and that is the Chiefs and the Patriots, mostly on the Patriots side of things. 27-17, excuse me here, Mark. They went off as 10-point favorites. They win by 10. So it depends where you bought this number, guys, as it was 10, 10 and a half. So that was an important hook on the 10 to get the push. 39 and a half was the total. Gets up and over. Chiefs go on the road, win by 10 in New England. What'd you take away from Foxborough, Mark?
There's still a lot of problems with this Chiefs offense. And I don't think it's going to get solved anytime soon. And it goes beyond Kadarius Toney literally not having human hands to catch a football. Because that's what it feels like every time you throw a ball his direction. He's got hands like feet. I mean, you know, you may as well just try to catch it with his feet. It'll be easier. So Patrick Mahomes was visibly frustrated, and the whole entire offense is frustrated. And look, this is not a Super Bowl caliber, the Chiefs right now. They're not. Like, we just automatically think of them as one. But, you know, at this point, we know definitively the Niners are better. The Bills are better. I would say the Ravens are better. And I'm just talking about a neutral site game here. When you look across the rest of the teams, I think the Eagles are better. You know, I would put the Chiefs right now at the level I'd put Detroit. Right? They got to be in the right situation, in the right spot, to be able to really take advantage. Oh, the Cowboys are definitely better than the Chiefs, by the way. It's another team that's better than the Chiefs. Like, the Chiefs, like, from a power rating standpoint, are probably like eighth or ninth.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to, you know, Tyreek Hill in the movie. Like, he was such a big part of that offense. And with him gone, in my opinion, the best player in the NFL, it's just not as explosive. Patrick Mahomes, one of the best, if not the best quarterback in the NFL, threw for over 300 yards, 305 to be exact, with two touchdowns. Also did have two interceptions today, something to note. But yeah, the Chiefs winning by 10, 27-17. And you bring up the Chiefs comparison-wise. They did beat the Dolphins that game in London. And going back to the last game, Mark, you know, there's a situation here with the Jaguars. They won that second game in London. Man, talk about spot-wise. Because the Jags, I'm guessing next year, are going to play two in a row in London because they kind of have that setup. That's something to circle in that second game because that was a huge advantage for the Jaguars. Monday Night Football preview coming up next, guys. Don't go anywhere. Mark Zeno, Drew Martin, Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in. Pro Football Full Circle, final segment here. Drew Martin, Mark Zeno, Sirius Channel 159, radio affiliates across the country. This is Sports Grid. Shout out to Matt and Frank behind the scenes doing a great job, as always, in the producer's role. We got Monday Night Football coming up. A little preview here. Philadelphia Eagles going on the road to the Pacific Northwest to face the Seattle Seahawks. And having to lay three as the road favorite, 45 being the total. Some reports out there, Jalen Hurts, little illness into Monday Night Football might affect both side and total here. But Battle of Birds in Seattle. Are you liking anything Monday Night Football here, Mark?
I'll probably look to the prop market more than anything. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's one of those things where I until I know who's starting for both quarterbacks, it's going to be hard to figure out really what the handicap for the game is. I mean, that's really the big question. Geno Smith, you know, had a groin injury, and Jalen Hurts is sick. And so, you know, you have to try to figure out who's playing and who's not.
Yeah, the sickness in terms of, like, a player in the quarterback position, always a difficult handicap. I am seeing a little bit of wind and rain in Seattle in the forecast for Monday night. So that might come into effect with some elements. I don't know, 45 is the total. We've seen Monday Night Football trend towards the under. Any opinion here? I kind of like the under, Mark.
Well, given the state of both the quarterbacks, yeah, that's probably not a bad idea.
Yeah, I could definitely see this one off. You know,
I mean, if you're Marcus Mariota in there, definitely take the under. That they're not going to score any touchdowns.
Yeah, he's a little bit past those Heisman Trophy years. Mariota in the backup role for the Eagles. Jalen Hurts if he does not play. Hey, great stuff from Mark Zeno, guys. We got college football full circle on the repeat next here. Sirius Channel 159 radio affiliates across the country. Follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Zeno. I'm on Twitter at Drew Martin Betts, at SportsGrid, at SportsGrid TV. That does it for Pro Football Full Circle. Guys, we'll be back next week, Christmas Eve. Come back and join us, SportsGrid.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.